an animal.
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal.
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Hamp was on the field with the state champs. Was that a halftime? Yeah, at halftime. And, it wasn't a great first half, but we still had hope. There was still hope, and the kids were great and all that. And it was great for Hamp to be out there. But then after the game, if you had the radio on for the best postgame period, that's the Hamp OB and Cause show with their driver, Mark Carmen, you would have heard, remember your kids, like if you saw a bull, like an animated bull on a cartoon and like smoke would come out of his nose? Yeah, that's what Hamp sounded like.
Yeah,
he sounded like that. Hamp, did you kill Robbie Gould yesterday? It sounded like you were going to murder him.
Did I say happy holidays yet?
Merry Christmas, buddy.
Yeah, you know, let me just say this. You know, it's not only, a virus here in Chicago. There's a lot of sad football being played across the NFL right now. And it was almost such a respite from one to see these young kids. All the different state champions were introduced by the Bears during halftime. And I, was up on the field to greet them. And you talk about kids that, were playing the game for the right reasons and playing the game the right way. It was really refreshing. And, you contrast that. All I've heard since Robbie Gould, remember, he's no longer Gold, Robbie Gould missed that kick, is all these people, whether they're coaches, players, media, whatever, he really works hard. He's really working hard. Now, I got a question for you, Mr. Cochran.
Yes.
How if you're getting paid $4 million, how hard a work is it to kick a ball? Okay. So, I don't need to hear that. All I got to tell you is in the big picture of NFL life, it's about cutting it, getting it done. And it's 2 weeks in a row that he has lost a game. And basically, I like what Matt Forte said yesterday. Just like good teammates, they're all trying to circle him and kind of protect him. But his assertion that, that was fourth down. We still had three downs where we could have done something, maybe score, and made him a moot point is entirely valid. And, that's the thing about this team. 1 week, then, we're down in the red zone yesterday and we're trying to score, and it really wasn't, the greatest three selections in my mind. But the week before, when we get the big kickoff return, we curl up in a ball and try to get the ball in the middle of the field. So it's almost like, we don't have a real overarching theme about getting after people. And that's one thing that OB, the great Ed Obradovich, was stressing yesterday, that not only these last three games, they're meaningless now, but make them mean something to this team and its future by going after people, being assertive on offense, going after people downfield defense. Hey, let's get after folks. Let's don't play passive and let them take the fight to us.
Well, let me ask you a couple of things about what you just said. First off, to me, a kicker at the National Football League, you're hired, and by the way, he's a great guy. He's a fabulous guy. That has nothing to do with this conversation. You can be a fabulous guy and not be the kicker for the Bears anymore. But you can miss a kick in the first quarter. You shouldn't, but you could. You could miss a kick in the second quarter. Again, you shouldn't, but you can. You can't miss a game winner, and you can't miss one that could keep you from going into overtime and losing, especially coming off that Packers win where these last 2 weeks should have been celebrations and not miserable. That's part one. Part two is John Fox had a bit of a reputation, and maybe it's the GM as well, of getting rid of guys who aren't getting it done. So are we going into a phase here in these last three games, Hamp, where if guys are just going to phone it in because there's no shot at the playoffs, that they're not going to be on the team next year?
Well, and that's what you're going to find out. I got to tell you this. This Martellus Bennett thing, it has quietly been resolved, but if you look at it, there's a lot under the surface. And to me, they're basically making a decision that we're only going to move forward with people that care about the team more than themselves.
Right.
And so that's a good thing. And I love your analysis of a kicker. Okay. You know, for most people, you know, you think that, oh, he's got a jersey and a helmet and he's, you know, we basically treated kickers like the guy that would put the butter on the plate at dinner at night, you know, like get out of here. I just got to tell you, you know, these kicks, these are, you know, defining moments of games. And, you know, when a kicker used to miss, you know, Butler would miss one and we're up 35-7 and instead of 38-7, it's only 35. Well, okay, we can live with it. And I think I told you this one time. I remember he was struggling. We're in Denver and he missed two or three kicks during the game. We go into overtime and finally we get down there and he makes this one. And then after the game, everybody's all giggly and all that. And he goes up to Dick and he goes, Yeah, you finally, Dickie goes, thank God you made that. He goes, yeah, would you have still loved me if I would have missed it? Dickie said, oh, I would have still loved you, but I would have missed you too. So, I mean, at some point.
It may not be fair, but you're paid to deliver. That's the position. You got to get it done when you have to get it done.
That's called being a professional. You gotta be able to make it happen.
Right. And well, you're right about Matt Forte too. It's great that Forte rallied the troops. It's great the other guys on the team were saying the same thing. But you know what? Yeah, you should have gotten it done before you needed him. But when you needed him, he didn't get it done. So that's why you got to consider possibly other options if there are any. But as thin as a talent is in the National Football League, yikes.
You know, true character is revealed in adversity, mm-hmm. And you have to remain confident. You know, I've been humbled day in, day out this year playing a new position, but it's no longer a new position. I am the right tackle, and I take full ownership of my mistakes, and I won't let it happen again.
I love the honesty from Kyle Long. You know, it's pretty rare amongst pro athletes these days. But, yeah, not a great game. And, you know, Dave, you know this. Hamp used to have tackles for lunch.
Yes.
He had offensive linemen for lunch, and then he'd snack on offensive linemen afterwards if he got hungry. Mm-hmm. Let me get you in here with Dan Hampton. Dave.
Well, let's start there, Hamp. Obviously, it wasn't Kyle Long's best game, but are we at a point where you look at this and you say, okay, you got to put him back at right guard?
Well, all year, OB has been beating the drum saying we got to move him back, but out of necessity, you know, for this year, for this time and place, he had to play tackle. And all in all, you know, you got to give him gold star for effort. And yesterday, as you said, was not his best effort, but he had a lot of help. You know, the rest of the offensive line had their worst outing of the year. In the first half, every one of them either gave up a sack, had a penalty, or did something else really stupid that stopped the drive. You know, this game yesterday, it was bizarre. We started off punt, fumble, punt. Mm-hmm. Then three out of four possessions, we scored a touchdown. For the first time all year, we scored not only one, but two touchdowns in the third quarter. But then down the stretch, when you had to make it happen, we go punt, punt, shank, field goal. So it was easily the worst performance by both the offensive line and the defensive line on the year. And explain that to me, because we know what the Redskins were. They were a team that was winless on the road for, what, 2 years or something like that? So, you know, I've heard of playing down to your opponent, but we went a flight or two below that and allowed them to take the fight to us, and we never, you know, got engaged them in the battle.
You know what? I kind of looked at this defense and thought, in the first half, they were putting some pressure on Kirk Cousins, and they did some things to, I think, to get him away from the pass rush a little more in the second half. But bottom line, Hamp, Washington 7 of 12 on third down yesterday,
and they held the ball for 10 minutes longer than 35 minutes to 20. You know, and that's basically what I was saying. You know, they won the battle at the line of scrimmage, and you know, I hope everybody is on the Jay Cutler bandwagon now, because, you know, obviously he was able to keep us in the ball game. He had a quarterback rating of 117 or something like that. I mean, he played pretty damn well for his offensive line collapsing at every play. But all in all, as you said, the Redskins, they are just like the 49ers. You know, every team is not devoid of talent. They have some decent players, but you cannot let them dictate how the game's going to be played. And what do? In the opening series, we allow them to go on a 15. I'm standing, Cochran, I'm standing right there at the 20. And I mean, it was like they're coming from the south end zone, coming, and they 15 play, 80 yard drive,
right,
touchdown. And it was like, oh, I don't know.
What dance marching.
For the way the game's going to be played. No matter what we did, the Redskins were going to take control.
There's two things here that, trouble me that I think are fairly apparent. One is Jay Cutler's not a kid anymore, and Cutler's playing really well. Is the window of opportunity with Jay Cutler going to match the learning curve of this team?
I think so. And, you know, as we say, I think Ryan Pace is, you know, look at his draft. You know, Kevin White, and from all indications, if the kid does get healthy, and there's really no reason to say he won't, but if he gets healthy, he could be a special player. But Eddie Goldman, I'm telling you, the kid is going to be a bona fide, fine football player.
Sure looks like it.
The third-round pick, Grissou, has started. We've already talked about that it would not be my choice, but at least he's proven that he can play in the league. The fourth-round pick has made a huge contribution. The fifth-round pick started every game. So, I mean, he's doing a lot of good things of rebuilding this roster. But, you know, one thing that – and I got to tell you, last night on Fox – they showed some highlights. The Carolina Panthers, who are undefeated, came out, and did they say, well, we're undefeated, and we're just going to hand the ball off and kind of go down the field? No, they came out throwing it, and they threw two bombs to Ted Ginn in the first quarter. Now, this guy can run. He's one of the fastest players in the NFL. But he ran, you know, I mean, it was, you know, 60, 70, 80-yard bombs. Well, let me tell you something. I don't know who they play next week, but they're going to be scared to death of Ted Ginn. And that's only going to increase the operating room for Cam Newton and the running game. So, you know, it's just the opposite with our team. Due to a lack of receiver speed, we are being compressed weekly, play by play, quarter by quarter. And unfortunately, we don't have anybody with speed. Eddie Royal, he was eligible and up yesterday, and he played a little bit, but still, we've got to be able to back people off. And until we do, or have the players that are capable of doing that, you know, it's always going to be tough sledding.
Am I old school here, or is the rest of the – and maybe the NFL's bulletproof when it comes to this, but I want to bring it back to what you started with. There's some bad football being played. When you got two divisions, it could be one at 8-8 or 7-9. Two, not one, two divisions. When you got two or three teams at 8-5 in both conferences that may make a wild card, I mean, your second wild card, both sides, is going to be 500 or less. It's just a lot of bad football, and I'm not a fan. Is the NFL bulletproof from that?
I don't know. And, you know, I hate to say, you know, you get what you pay for. Well, this is what they wanted, and they wanted parity.
Right.
They wanted everybody at 7-7 fighting it out the last 2 weeks of the season to see who's going to win, and now you got it in the NFC East. You know, that team we saw yesterday, oh, yeah, that's right. They left the field leading the NFC East. I got to tell you, I'm not impressed. And so, you know, where's it going to end? I don't know. But I do know this, that in the big picture, yeah, I like the fact that maybe the Vikings could be 3-13 every year. I like the fact that Detroit, I don't care about them.
Right.
We're playing down with them.
Yep.
We're not inspiring our team to play better for whatever reason. This team basically mailed it in against the 49ers and got slapped. And this past week, we came out. It was the night of the zombies. Nobody was getting after it, and we allowed them to take a 14-0 lead before we ever really engaged, which was 1:10 to go in the first half. So, again, this goes back to the guy that's supposed to be, you know, sitting at the driver's seat, turning the key to get it started. Well, that's John Fox, and it hadn't happened the last 2 weeks.
Stan Hampton, nice job with the show yesterday. Very entertaining, you know, in the midst of the pain. You know, we talked about the five stages of grief. We decided, Hamp, that you only have happiness and anger. You don't do the other stages.
Yeah, I don't. I jump straight to the cut to the chase, right?
And even though the new season of The Bachelor starts tonight, I just don't see us being able to put together a makeup dinner for you and Robbie Gold until he makes another kick.
Hey, I'll take our Gino's East pizza with Kaz and OB any day over that deal.
You're the best, man. Thank you.
Go Bears!
That sounded a little half-hearted.
I think it was half-hearted. I just took all his energy.
Yeah, I think that was it.
Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. And, of course, we want to note the passing of Jay Cutler's brother-in-law, Kristen Cavallari's brother, who struggled with alcoholism, as was pointed out by her and the family. And his car was found abandoned, and his body was found about 3 miles from the car. Was it Utah?
Utah.
Yeah, in Utah. Terrible story.
Very desolate area.
So a terrible story, very sad. And you know, condolences to Jay Cutler, Kristen Cavallari, and their extended family.